The Christmas season in some households will mean getting a Christmas letter from a prominent family member, maybe a grandparent perhaps. Today, I would like to read an imaginary, obviously, Christmas letter from our spiritual forefather, Abraham. Dear children of mine in Christ, I don't like to think of myself as a famous person. Although the Bible has many passages about my history and my status as the patriarch of Israel, I'm no stranger to you folks either. You know me from Sunday school and what you read in the book of Genesis. I look back on my life and I see my son Isaac. He was the key to my future and yours. He was the proof of God's power and the token of His love. And yet Isaac was nothing more than a box that delivers the actual gift. Isaac was a gift that led to the gift, the Savior, the one person you and I share as so important. You have a custom of buying presents, exchanging them with each other. Think back to some of the Christmas gifts that you received over the years. Where are they now? In the back of a closet? Passed on to somebody else? Buried under a heap of garbage in a landfill? Isn't it true that your greatest Christmas present does not break or wear out or become obsolete? It's there for you every day, even if you forget. It came from God through Adam and Eve, through me, then Isaac, through the Virgin Mary. God gave you His very best when He gave you His Son. How often do you think about that? The people who celebrated that first Christmas have a way of putting us to shame. The humble devotion that Mary had, as an example. The excited joy of the shepherds who wouldn't keep the news to themselves. That determined adoration of the wise men, driving them hundreds of miles from their home. They all had a wonderful focus on Christ that you hardly ever notice. I know a reason why. You don't have to wait like they did. God taught them to appreciate and long for what He finally gave after many promises made and many centuries of waiting. For me, Christmas has always been about the waiting. In fact, my whole life has been a pattern of God doing the planning and me waiting for His directions. He told me to leave my father's house and go to a place that He didn't specify right away. He kept the location a secret. I had to wait for the moment of revelation, the day when He identified Palestine, Canaan, as the land of my inheritance, the land that my descendants would receive. In hindsight, I can see the wisdom of God's plan. After all, He pulled me out of a place where the people ignored Him, replaced Him with idols. He kept me isolated from the sinful lifestyles that tormented my nephew. Remember Lot and the foolish choice he made to live in that awful city? That's when God said to me, "All the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever." Even though God promised a future land for my people, I never had a town or city where I could lay down roots. God kept me moving from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, Shechem, Bethel, Ai, Egypt. So many stopping places that were little more than campsites. I had no real home on earth. God had me wait for a better place, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city where I live now. I'm no special case, you know. There's something better in store for you than your current address and your current life on earth. Don't get attached to your life down here. You're going to move. You're going to join me in that heavenly Jerusalem one day. God wants you to be like me, therefore. people who wait for God's direction, people who sojourn in this world like strangers passing through with their focus on that better life in that better place. I had to wait 175 years before God took me home. Even though your lifespan is shorter, your situation is the same. You wait for your time of departure. You wait for the Savior to return as promised. You wait for God to answer your prayers. You wait and you wait for things beyond your control. Waiting requires patience, a willingness to leave your circumstances in the hands of God, who does not consult you. He doesn't seek your permission. He decides it unilaterally. He lays out a plan whose details he keeps to himself. He has you wait in the dark at times. It's difficult because it goes against the grain of how we are by nature. We want to know what's ahead. We like to be in control. We like to be in God's position. That has always been the problem. You and I asserting our will, taking matters into our own hands, assuming the role of God. We keep adding to the garbage pile of sin that first began with Adam and Eve. That's why Christmas will always be important. It began as a promise in the garden. After the flood, God directed that promise through Shem, then later on through me. As I waited for God's next move in my life, I always had the promise as a fallback, my refuge, and my compass in this world. Let's keep it in perspective. I was 75 when the promise of a son was made. I was 100 when the promise was fulfilled. Sarah was 90. There's no denying what the miraculous power of God had done for us. He truly gave us a miracle child. The wait was finally over. My faith was not in vain. God, the Lord, had kept His promise. Think back to that mountain where later on I almost had to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. On that mountain, I also met Jesus, the angel of the Lord who spoke to me. He gave me a glimpse of what He Himself was planning to do one day. He let Isaac go and put a substitute in his place. A ram caught in the bushes. A ram that I killed and offered up to God. One day Jesus would be just like that ram. A substitute sacrifice for me and Isaac, for all of you. That's the meaning behind those words. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Jesus would be the one descended from me to make your life better off, even though you are not Jewish people. He would be the one to take your place, offer up Himself as the payment of your debt, and allow you to go free from the judgment and the punishment of sin. He would be the one to bless you with the proof of God's love, the certainty of God's forgiveness, and your own hope of eternal life. Since you are Gentiles, you are not my descendants in the ethnic sense, but that's okay. You're still my children, according to the Bible's definition. Those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I expect to see you in that heavenly city, your real home, the inheritance that comes from the Heavenly Father. It's only a matter of waiting. Wait for God to do what He said He would do. We can trust His promise. We can trust Him to treat you with the same faithfulness that He treated me. Amen. We'll close with the singing of hymn 705. 705.